I learned about myself a long time ago. I need reminders. If I have something at the house that I need to take to someone or to my office, I have a place in the house that I put it. I may not remember it if I put the item somewhere else, but I do remember to look at the place. And if something's there, I take it. I need that reminder. If there are more than three things to buy at the store, I make myself a list. Actually, it might be more like two. Two things. I need the list. I need the reminder. And I suspect you're much the same way. You may need reminders. Maybe you have to do what I have described about things and lists, but you also need to be reminded about spiritual matters. And this morning, as we prepare to take communion, to take the Lord's Supper together, I want to remind you of some things. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9 if you have not already turned there. Hebrews chapter 9, we're going to read from verse 11. The writer writes, "But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For this reason he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that, since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where a covenant is, there must of necessity be the death of the one who made it. For a covenant is valid only when men are dead, for it is never enforced while the one who made it lives. Therefore, even the first covenant was not inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment had been spoken by Moses to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and the goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, 'This is the blood of the covenant which God commanded you.' And in the same way he sprinkled both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry with the blood. And according to the law, one may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Therefore, it was necessary for the copies of the things in the heavens to be cleansed with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor was it that he would offer himself often, as the high priest enters the holy place year by year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now once, at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once also, having been offered once to bear the sins, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him." Reminders. Reminders. The first reminder is that Jesus made a better sacrifice before God. Jesus paid the price for your sin. Have you asked to get in on that deal? The contrast throughout Hebrews is of how Christ is better than the prophets, better than Melchizedek as a high priest, better now as an offering for sin. In verses 9 and 10, the writer makes clear that the gifts and sacrifices of the old covenant cannot make the worshiper complete, Because they had to do it year after year after year after year after year. But now Christ has done it once for all. All the blood of the goats and the bulls and the ashes of the heifer sacrifice were able to provide was merely an external and symbolic removal of defilement. But Jesus entered into God's very presence through a better tabernacle, that is, through the tabernacle in heaven. And there Jesus offered a better sacrifice, himself. He offered a better sacrifice. His blood allowed entrance into the holy place once for all. Now, I don't know about you, but that put chills on me. To think that Christ did what needed to be done year after year after year after year. He did it once for all. And in that doing, he earned eternal redemption. Jesus was the better sacrifice. If you were to come to our house, and we invited you over for a piece of pie, and there were two pies on the counter, and I just went ahead and told you that I made one of the pies and my wife made the other pie. Which pie would you choose? And you also need to know that my wife made the pie off of a recipe, one that she has perfected. She put all the right ingredients in. She baked it just right. But I, on the other hand, went to the refrigerator and just started pulling stuff out to put in the pie. And whatever might be on the counter, I put in the pie. Now, which pie would you choose? Well, if you want to work, if you want to live your life based on the idea that you're going to earn a right relationship with God, if you want to live your life apart from Christ thinking that you're going to be good enough, it's going to be like eating my pie. And you don't want to do that. Jesus paid the better sacrifice. He made the complete sacrifice. Well, stop and think about it for a minute. What about life is truly once for all? How many times have you taken a breath this morning? How many times have you eaten in the last week? How many times have you rested at night in the last month? All the things about life that we do over and over and over. But Jesus made the sacrifice once for all. We do that because life is transitory. And every one of us faces 2 out of 3 deaths. The first death, if he tarries, physical death is a given. I do not know of anyone that's 1,000 years old or 500 years old. In our day and time, even 125 years old. We're all going to die. That's the first death. Well, the second possible death is an eternal death, an eternal separation from God, from his presence, from being where you want to be, from being. If you're going to be apart from him, you're going to be in misery. You're going to be in turmoil. That's the second possible death. The third possible death is to die to sin and self right now. That's what Isaiah was talking about when he talked about, I think, about the new song. I'm able to sing, Lord, you're the new song because I have died to myself. And some of you may have been in church all of your life, but never have died to self. You've never given up your right to say what's right and wrong. You've never given up your right to say, this is what I'm going to do. You've never given up your right to say, I'm dependent on me. So which of those 3 deaths, you're going to die 2 of them. Which 2 are you going to die? Again, the first one's, I think, a given. We're going to die physically. But which of those other 2, are you going to die eternally? Or are you going to go ahead and die to sin and self and come into that saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, if you choose to die to sin and self, there will be a second birth as well. I was in the room when my three kids were born. Somebody was in the room when you were born. But what about a second birth? Where you have said, Lord, I want you in my life. I die to myself so that I might live with you. Well, Jesus, because he is the better sacrifice, makes this possible. Which two deaths will you die? Or will you experience the two births? Only when eternity is taken into account does life gain permanence, solidness. Only then is the soul of a man or a woman satisfied, completed, fulfilled. Jesus made possible this eternal redemption. Do you need a reminder? The second reminder is that Jesus initiated a better covenant, a better relationship with God. Jesus made a better sacrifice, and because of that, he became mediator of a better relationship, a better covenant. The writer talked about how the blood of bulls and goats in the Old Testament provided for access into the Holy of Holies, but they only did that one time a year. But he said now that the blood of Christ has made possible our entrance, our being in the very presence of God, the Holy of Holies, all the time. Christ's blood did it once for all. Once for all. It was the shedding of blood that put this new covenant into existence. He makes the comment that when a covenant is entered into, a man must die. Ever since we studied covenant, I don't think I have failed to miss this opportunity in doing a wedding. Of talking about entering through this covenant. And what they would do to enter into a covenant between two people was that they would take the animal and cut it in half. And for some of you, I'd love to see your face if you had to watch that. But you need to visualize that, because it was Christ that died. And we're to die to ourselves. And we enter through that. We enter the covenant by that walk through death. It's that shedding of blood that puts the new covenant into existence. Christ died. He shed his blood. And for you to be in this covenant, you have to die as well. Die to sin. Die to self. Die to your independent life. And it's possible because Jesus initiated a better covenant. I didn't stop and think, but how many presidents I have known in my lifetime, but more than one. Every one of us has a relationship with the president, whoever it may be. But we have that relationship because we are citizens of this country. If we were to meet him, Mr. President would be the appropriate greeting. But what if he were a cousin, or an uncle, or a brother? We've yet to have a woman president, or some other close relationship. The first relationship would still be true. He would still be our president. But the second would take precedence. And the same can be true before God. You have a relationship with him because he is your creator. And you are accountable to him. But if you have entered into this second relationship with Christ as you would have that second relationship with the president, it is a better relationship. Do you have that second relationship with Christ? I've used the phrase once for all. By no means am I or the writer of Hebrews implying some sort of universal salvation. It is universally available, but it is not universally solid. Every one of us that have been created in the image of God, part of that being created in his image means that we have possible that relationship with Him. Do you have that relationship today? Do you have that salvation experience with Christ? Now, not all of us choose to enter into this new covenant. And as we look forward toward the ordinance of the Lord's Supper or communion, call it what you will, we need to keep in mind that it is a symbol of what Christ did for us. He died for us. The act of taking the bread or the juice does not save you. You could take communion every day for the rest of your life, and if you live a life of defiance before Him, you're not saved. It is only that heart change. It is only that relationship that brings you into a saving relationship. We remember what Jesus did. Do you need a reminder? The third reminder is that Jesus is a better representative before God. Not only did He make a better sacrifice, and not only did He initiate a better covenant, He is a better representative before God. Jesus is a better spokesman for you. The writer wraps up the section by going back to the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus, that better sacrifice. And by this sacrifice, He entered into heaven before God's holy presence for you, the better place. And as He appeared once to bear your sins, the past, He will appear a second time to take you into God's presence, the future. He did this for you. He did this for you. Think of time. He's spoken of past and He's spoken of present. And he's spoken of future. Think of time as going up Cowie Mountain. When you get to the top, the very top, the apex, that is your present. All the climb to that point, all the twists and turns, that's your past. That's behind you. You can't go back and redo the past. Some of us have tried. I would like to, but I can't. All I can live in is the present. And all that lies ahead, all the twists and turns, that's your future. And if you have that saving relationship with Jesus, one that you've entered into via repentance and confession, He has taken care of, He has carried your sins. He's taken care of the past. But He's also taking care of your future. Do you have that saving relationship with Him? Do you know that when you die that physical death and you stand before God and He asks you, why should I let you into my heaven? That you're not even going to have to make an answer because Jesus is going to be there and say, He's with me. She's one of mine. Do you know that? Do you know that? As we think about taking communion, again, you can take it every day for the rest of your life. That will not save you. But we need to take seriously the idea of being prepared. Do you need reminders of who Christ is? My guess is you're just like me every day. Every day. But we've been reminded of who Christ is. A better sacrifice, a better place, a better spokesman. Do you know Him as your Savior?